All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6 or something. But what I want to say here, let me pray and then we'll get into this. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, dear God, to understand this topic, this very important topic. Lord, as we raise families, as we lead as men, as we try to live what the Bible says on our everyday lives, Lord, and Lord, for our children to understand and to grow up and not be confused about what it means to be a man and what you expect from us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the title of this message is Biblical Manhood. Biblical men are warriors, and they fight. However, here's the thing. I think the battlefield today, people are confused as to what their fight is. Most men today are confused as to what their fight is. They think, you know, I hear a lot of men talk, and what they want to do is go fight. They want to go fight out on the street. They want to go fight out on the street, street preaching. And I'm not saying that's not part of the battle, because it is. Okay, they want to go fight other things. They want to go fight in the world. They want to go fight through maybe even evangelism and everything else. But the battle starts in the mirror. The fight and the real war starts in the mirror. I'm so tired of seeing people trying to fight something else that is not even what they are to be fighting. It's not the main battle. It's not the main battlefield that they are to be fighting, especially men in understanding what that battlefield really is. So let's look at the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." There's some things we're to flee, amen? "And follow after righteous." You know, real men run when they need to. There's some things you got to run from. You know, when Joseph was in that house with that whore that was in that house that was trying to entice him, Joseph ran out the door. There's some times that men have to run, and that's a time that a real man will run. When he's faced with that, when that comes right in his face, and it's time for him to move and get out of there. There's been times I've been places around women in different situations like, you know what? I think it's time for me to go. And I left and got out of there. Amen. "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the good fight of faith, it says. "Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, there are so many verses that can be used here that we can talk about today, and we are going to talk about. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 goes on with that same theme. As a soldier of Christ, a man is a soldier, a man that is saved. Biblical manhood is different than what the world sees manhood. Even at former times when manliness was more common, it's even different than that, because it goes a step further, because God's word always goes further than what the world does. 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Now, you think that hardness is just somebody cussing you out. You think that hardness is just somebody that's antagonistic towards you. No, that's one aspect of it. But that's where you think the hardness is sometimes. But the hardness that you're to endure and the battle you're to endure, it starts in the mirror, friend. Man, it starts in the mirror. That's where it starts. But you'll go off and fight. You know, I've met so many men that'll go off and fight every other battle than the one right in the mirror. They'll go fight everything else but the war they have in the mirror. And you're a coward, because you can't face yourself. I want to shut that door. I don't want to mess up the nail job next door. I might do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." I want to ask you a question. Do you care more about being a better Christian for the Lord, you, or are you worried more about all the offenses of the world and everybody else? Because a real man looks in the mirror and says, you know what? What do I take from this word today that I need to do to make myself, to be a better Christian, to walk in the Spirit and to be the man that God wants me to be? Instead of, let me correct everybody else's errors out there and let me go fight those wars instead of the ones that are right in front of my face. By the way, this applies to women too. You can apply some of these things to a lady as well as far as principles go. But really, I'm talking to men here in that sense. Biblical men. It says here, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That's important. You know, biblical men are warriors. They are to be fighters. And God gives them his Spirit and makes them soldiers in his army, the army of the King of Kings. It is clear that we have to fight, and we are told to fight. But you know, the problem is, we don't know what to fight a lot of times. Because we get distracted prematurely. You know, one of the things that I talked about David Ickes, about him and I have talked extensively about over the last year or two, is that there's so many men that they get involved, they get saved, they get involved in the ministry, and they want to go out and street preach, and they become so consumed with it, and they're like the rebukinators everywhere they go, and that's all they do, but they never work on their own life. They never work on who they are as a person, as a Christian, as a person that God wants them to be. They never work on that. Number one, fight the good fight of faith. This is actually not part of, this is a preview. Fight the good fight of faith, a summary here to get started. That's army talk, isn't it? That's battle talk. That's the talk of the war. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Again, that's talk of war. You see that? The battle, the fight, armor in Ephesians chapter 6 is us being fitted for the battle and the wars that we must wage. Biblical men are warriors. Their battle may not be on some spectacular battlefield or street preaching or refuting heretics or anything else. Their battle, the battle for a man is simply real manhood. Battling and warring and fighting the good fight of faith. That's the battle every day. Don't look for a war somewhere else, but fight the one you're in right now. That's the one you need to fight, the one you're in right now. Why aren't, you know, here's the question I have to ask myself. Why am I not more concerned with my walk than I am with somebody else's? Why am I not more concerned with what I need to do and how I need to grow in the Lord? Good question. So I'm going to show you where the real battle is. Number one, we need to see men fight today for biblical manhood. They need to fight for it. We need some men to stand up and be real men. We desperately need it. Desperately. Men need to understand what it means to be a man, what it means to fight for what is yours, to fight for what God has given you, and to fight against some things as well. It's sad to see how many Christian men today give up in defeat on their God-given roles. They just give up. Well, I can't do it. It's hard. Yeah? That's why the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Of course it's hard. God didn't say it was a cakewalk. He didn't say to make frosting and make a cake, did he? He didn't say put lacy underwear on and go out and battle, did he? Hey, did he? No, he said put on the armor and fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that it just seems like to me that we can't tell the difference anymore. Just can't. It's sad to see how many men just give up. They just don't want to fight. I've seen it. Since I've been saved for the last 16 years, I've watched it over and over again. I've watched it. I watched them not fight. There's just such a lack of faithfulness and fire of Christian men today. You know, honestly, many times I have more women contact me that listen to these sermons than men do. I'm just telling you the truth. You know why? Because they want to see real men say something. That's why. I just see that so many men could be stopped so easily and drift into that mediocrity, that mediocre lifestyle. It's so easy for them just to drift off into that and drift off into me. Just get by is fine. Why? Since when are men supposed to just get by in anything they do? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. But today we see so many men that they're okay with mediocrity. They're okay with just the mediocre. They're okay with just getting by. They can be stopped so easily. They can be babies and give up and complain and whine about every circumstance and not do anything about those circumstances. To be a defeated Christian man. What a shame for God's people to say, I can't all the time. I usually tell people, you do what you want to do. You can't because you won't. You don't want to. Amen. You don't want to. The most hated man in this world today is a truly Christian man. Oh, they're hated. They're hated. The one that will fight the good fight of faith. The man that will stand by God's grace and by God's Spirit and be faithful. Faithful men with some grit that will not give up when the least bit of opposition comes their way. I'm telling you, I've seen it so many times. It's like there's no grit today among men. Everything can stop them. Men that know they have a job to do, but they shirk at it. Their responsibilities. For what? For comfort or for fun or for pleasure. You know, the Bible marked this generation, this age, with a time that would be men that would be lovers of pleasures. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4. And that's what we have today, a bunch of kids that don't ever grow up. I got a family, and I got a brother the same way, never grown up. Just runs around and acts like a kid. Man, he acts like we did when we were 19, and he ain't never changed. He acts the same as he did when he was 19 years old, acts the same exact way today, and runs around the same way and does the same stuff. It's all he does. Runs around acting like a punk his whole life. Never grown up. Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4, traitors, heady, high-minded. Look at this. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If you want your pleasures more than you want to be right with God, if you want your ease and your comfort more than you do want to be right with God, that's you. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If you have to fulfill your pleasures and fulfill your flesh and please your flesh more than you do to please God, then guess what? You are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's not a real man. That's a man marked by an age of decline. Perilous times, men that are marked in perilous times. And you know, here's the thing about that. When you see that, it's this. Well, I'd rather have all the pleasure, have all the fun, than look at my Bible, than pray, than do all these things that I need to do. I could find all the time in the world to please my flesh, but not enough time to love God. That's not biblical manhood. You know, let it not be said about a man that is a Christian that they will not fight because they're not sober-minded. And by the way, I'm not talking about sober-minded about somebody else. I'm talking about sober-minded about yourself. Looking your own self in the mirror. And facing yourself down. Yeah. I mean, it's easy for me to find all the problems in the world with Zach. Man, I can find a bunch with him. And Zach, you know what? It's easier for me to fight your problems. It is, man. I love fighting against your problems, Zach. Right? It's easy to do that, isn't it? A lot harder to fight against your own. A lot harder to face yourself. Well, if you got a big mouth about everybody else's problems, but you ain't got a big mouth about your own, you're a coward. Is that too much? Oh, it's going to get a lot worse. Hang on. Mm-hmm. I've seen it before. I've seen people bark the loudest about everybody else. But when they're confronted, they got nothing to say about their sin. And nothing to do about it. Proverbs 20, verse number 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Oh, I've heard, believe me. I've heard it. I've heard every excuse that you imaginable, probably that you, I shouldn't say everyone because there's a lot of them, but I've heard a good number of excuses of why people can't do right. Oh, man, I've heard some good ones too. They always were the exception to the rule. If you have that excuse, I have one word for you. It's called pride. That's what it is. When you want to be the exception to the rule, it's because you're proud. Nobody has my circumstances. I know. That's why God gave them to you. So fight! He didn't give them to somebody else. He gave them to you. So fight them, you big baby. Boy, it's quiet, man. I wonder if Andrew's yelling at home. I'm used to Andy yelling in here or somebody. Man, where's all the kids at screaming today? 1 Corinthians 16:13. It is. What? It's quiet because this is not, this is, you can cut there with a knife. I knew it would be. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I didn't know it would be, but when you bring something like this, you kind of can see that. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, what are the directions there? Watch ye. Be alert, be attentive, watch. Right? Stand fast in the faith. Yeah, pay attention, be alert. Put a watch, put a guard up. Right? Like a watchman on the wall. You know, I get a kick out of all these people online. I'm a watchman. I'm a watchman. Well, hey, watchman, did you ever look in the mirror and figure out you got a porn problem and everything else that you're going on right now and you're watching everybody else? I think it's time for you to watch yourself. I think it's time for you to watch yourself. You know how many people I've had contact me that they're in sin and doing all that stuff and they're trying to tell other people how to live and what they're supposed to do and they're not even living right for God? They're not even sanctified, set apart for the Lord? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. That's the command of the Lord right there. Number two, biblical men fight their own flesh and desires first. That's the key. Before you go out and battle anybody else, you wake up, look in the mirror, and you fight what you got to fight yourself. Your biggest enemy is in the mirror. Your biggest enemy right in the mirror. You mean it's not Satan? Nope, it's you. Thou art the man. The devil didn't make you do it, right? A biblical man must have the mastery over his own flesh and desires. He must have a rule over his own spirit. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28. Talking about biblical manhood, let's look at it. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You don't have a rule over your own spirit. You cannot accomplish anything nor help anyone and be the leader God wants you to be as a man when you're not warring against your own flesh. You got to war against your own flesh. War against your own pride. War against your own intellect. War against your own lust. War against your own laziness. War against your own procrastination. We're going to get to all those. Those are fun ones. I heard that, Lee. Lee's like, man, I should have watched on Zoom like Andrew. Man. I'm getting sick, too. Yeah, I bet. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. Hey, we war in the spirit against the flesh. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Look, you can't fight the flesh by cussing it out. You can't fight the flesh by what do they call that, Joshua, when they beat themselves? Good, I didn't want to say that wrong. Last time I said flatulation, and it wasn't good. So, all right, flatulation, yeah, I did it again. See that? Or they beat themselves. You know, you can't fight the flesh like that. Can't fight the flesh by making yourself a eunuch. You can't fight the flesh like that. No, you fight the flesh with the spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, this verse is about you dealing with you. How about that? It's about you and I dealing with ourselves, not you and I worrying about somebody else. Now, there's a ministry to other people. I understand that. But my goodness, friend, the thing you have to understand the most is you got to look in the mirror and deal with you. Too many times we're all ready to deal with somebody else and not ourselves. First John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, you have to get a handle on yourself. You got to have control over your own spirit. And you get that through the Holy Spirit of God, through walking in the spirit and not the flesh. You got to get a handle on your temper and your anger. The Bible says anger rests in the bosom of fools. It just sits there waiting for a chance to strike. Do you understand that? It means that anger rests in the bosom of the soul. It means that it's right there in the bosom of a fool. It's right there. It's just ready to come out. You understand? Like, you don't have, yeah, I've met plenty of men. I've dealt with plenty of men like this before. I feel sorry for their poor wives that have to deal with them because they are ready to lash out at their wives at any second when something goes wrong. It's there. No, it's not something that just arose that maybe something, you're having a bad day. No, it's not a bad day. I've heard people say, well, I'm just having a bad week. Get over it, princess. All right, get over it, you big baby. I'm having a bad week. Well, take a Midol and get over it then. All right? Or maybe drink a bottle of aloe vera or something. I don't know. but just do something, all right? But stop it, you big baby, because you sound like a big baby. I'm having a bad week. You know what? I don't really care if you're having a bad week. Trust God, love God, put a smile on your face, and go do the will of God. Bad week. Having a bad week. Well, change your pamper and you'll feel better. I'm telling you, I'm talking to men here and I'm saying, listen, you got to be men. I mean, I. You got to get a handle. You got to get control on it. You don't have to renounce that sinful anger and walk in wisdom. But it rests in the bosom of fools. It's there. And you're just using it. Then you just wait for an excuse so you can unleash it on people. I've met street preachers. I've met a lot of people like that. I pastor them. I've dealt with them. They're waiting for their wife. Boom, they just lash out at their kids. Lash out at their wives. Lash out at people. Lash out because they got it there and it's just waiting. It's there. Nothing has to really trigger it. They're just looking for an excuse to unleash it. Yeah. Just looking for an excuse to unleash it. Mm-hmm. Yep. You got to lay it down. You got to guard against it. You have to have rule over your own spirit. You got to learn to deny. You got to learn to deny your flesh. You have to learn to do that. We have to be temperate. God's men, biblical men, are temperate. They practice temperance. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Temperance. Practice it. Put it into practice. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run." Too many don't want to run. "So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery," look at that, "striveth for the mastery of" what? "Themselves in the race they're running. Striveth to be the best Christian they can be, the best father, the best husband," amen, right? "The best wife, the best child of God, the best daughter of God, whatever it is that God has for you in the place that you are, the best child, whatever it is, they strive for the mastery of it." "Is temperate in all things." It says, man, when they're running this race, they're temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. "Run, fight, and war against the flesh. Flee when we are told to flee those youthful lusts. Run like the devil is chasing you," because he is. "Run away from youthful lust." We got to get a handle on the flesh, though. We got to be temperate. Temperate with the flesh. Temperance is a Christian grace. And it may, I don't know what it is that you have the battle with in your life. Some things are more evident than others. If it's spending, you got to learn to be temperate in spending. Amen. If that's what it is, you got to learn to be temperate in it. You be faithful to God, you give to God, you give to his work, you take care, you pay your bills, you do what's right, you wait on God for his blessings. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's killing you. You gonna be mad enough to stop it? Or godly enough to stop it if it's a woman? You gonna be godly enough to stop it? Get the mastery of it? I can't do it. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You set your face as a flint and you obey the will of the Lord. If God says to be temperate in something and you need help with it, then you be temperate in it and you follow it. See, this is that personal stuff that people don't like preachers preaching about right here. But you know what? I wouldn't be worth a gob of spit on a sidewalk like half of Mar out there if I didn't tell you the truth. I've lived it myself. I weighed 300 pounds. I know what it's like. I've done it. I've done it twice, to my shame. And had to get the mastery over it. Had to work at it hard. Some things come easier. You know? Some people, they need a temperance over their diet, their food. They have to know what it is and get a mastery over that and understand it and be able to deal with it. Some people, it's spending. Right? Some people it's entertainment and amusements. Right? I don't know what it is, but you know what? Whatever it is in your life, you need to get the mastery over it. Not to be said that God's people cannot do anything. I'm not talking about looking like models or anything else like that. They're skinny and scary looking anyway. They look like sticks. Like, it's really gross, kind of. Well, it's gross. Anyway, but that's it. I'm just saying. The point is that I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is you have the temperance over it. You being able to push away. You being able to walk away. You being able to say, you know what? This is not good for me. I shouldn't do this. I need to stop this. You know, I wonder how many of God's people just die because they won't say no. They can never say no to themselves. I wonder how much chastisement from the Lord comes when we can't be temperate and just say no. Think about that. If you are in direct disobedience to the Lord, right? Think about this. If you're in direct disobedience to the Lord, right? And then things happen. You say, oh, the devil's doing it. No, maybe it's God doing it. Do you ever think about that? Maybe the Lord is chastening you because you're not right with him, because you're rebellious to him, because you know it to do good, and you doeth it not, and to you it is sin. Right? Amen. Boy, that's that personal preacher. Now you're meddling, preacher. I know I am. Doing a good job of it, too. I know sometimes in my life, and you can be the same way, if you don't get a swift kick in the pants, you don't do anything. I'm going to tell you, half the men here wouldn't have done anything if they didn't get a swift kick in the pants.
That's right. Yep.
He wouldn't be in Cairo school without a swift kick in the pants. He wouldn't be in Pepsi if it wasn't a swift kick in the pants. He wouldn't be working like that. Yep. He wouldn't be selling cars there. Yep. Right? Amen. Sometimes you got to have some tough love. And listen, I don't just say it, I live it, friend. I've lived it. I've suffered it. I've went through it. I've done it by the grace of God. On more than one occasion with more than one thing. So I'm not speaking and just not living it. By God's grace, I've lived it. And I haven't mastered it all, and I don't claim to. But I will say this, I want to. I sure want to. You know, obviously there's going to be times you're going to eat things that aren't good for us. We know that. It's going to happen. But it should be the saints of God cannot stop it. Or that we should live with obesity or anything else because of a lack of self-control, a lack of temperance. Amen. Come on now. And we either believe the Bible or we don't. Now, like I said, I don't think anybody's going to walk around, and not everybody's going to be the same. We're all going to be different. My point is that it's temperance. We ought to be able to know when to say no. We ought to know to take care of our temple, get the exercise we need, get the sleep we need, drink the water we need, do normal things that we need to do, right? Amen. If you don't know, find out. But care enough to know. I care for you. And I've been through it, man. I know what it's like to carry around 300 pounds. Ooh, it's heavy, Giannis. It is. It's heavy, brother. It's like carrying like three of you on my back. Okay, maybe four and a half, but not, I'm just kidding, brother. But it's a lot of you, brother. Multiples of you. Anyway, and again, I don't pretend to have a perfection, but what I'm saying is I care about you. And most people won't say anything to you. They won't talk about that. Just keep filling the offering plate up and don't worry about it. It's all right. But I care about your life. I don't want you to die prematurely for no reason and say, well, it's just time for me to go home and I'm 48. No, not really. Not if you didn't do all that you could do that God allowed you to do. Amen? Well, God wants me to be bankrupt. No, he doesn't. Amen? No, he doesn't. God wants me to settle for mediocrity. No, he doesn't. I'm not preaching prosperity because I'm too poor for all that. So I got the money. Don't have to worry about that. Look, my tie was $1.88 at Goodwill, all right? I'm just telling you. Contrary to all the popular videos out there. Oh, look at that. I knew he was rich. Look at his tie. Hey, look, just because I know how to pick him, all right, for $1.88. Amen? And sports coats for, oh, man, I'll hook you up. I will hook you up, Brother Joshua. You come to me to the Salvation Army, man, I'll hook you up. I'll get you some good stuff. All right, man. Oh, man, you go with me. I'll show you. Oh, I'll show you guys some good stuff, man. Save you some good money. You can buy me dinner for it. No, you don't do that. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Hey, man. Then you won't have any money left after you. I'm just kidding. But look, it's not about, you know, just weight loss or an exercise. It's about all of it, just caring for your temple in whatever way it is. Whatever way it is, God wants you to be temperate in all things. Let's look at our lives and say, man, a little out of balance with that. Maybe it's your time you spend doing other things. Maybe it's work. Maybe you're working too much. And you're not taking enough time with your wife. And your family. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm not temperate in that. I need to get a handle on that. Amen. You get a handle on that. See, for everybody else, it's different. That's why all of us can't look at each other and be like, well, I'm better than you. Yeah. I'm better than you. No. We all have challenges we've got to fight. That's what it's about being a man, is saying, these are my challenges. This is my war. This is what I have to fight. These are the battles that I have, that I'm facing. Amen? You know, biblical men, they war against the flesh, warring against the lust of the eyes. That porn, it's rampant everywhere. I mean, naked pictures everywhere. What they don't call naked, we call naked. God calls naked. I mean, at the store. You just walk up somewhere, and then there's, you don't try to, I mean, you got them right at the checkout counter, places like Target. It's right there. You just walk up there, and boom, there you go. Care where, all of them. They don't care. Put it right there in front of you. Side of the road, put it right there in front of you. You know, make a covenant with your eyes not to look on a woman to lust after her, like Job. Be a man and war against lust. You fight it. It's called being a man. You war against it. You don't accept it. You don't accept one dirty thought. You don't accept your mind astray. You don't accept one picture. You don't accept anything. I hate seeing it, man. You're looking at the news, trying to look at the news, and it's boom, it's right there. Lord, forgive me. I didn't even know it was there. You know, everywhere you go, everything you do. Sad. It's really sad, but that's their goal. That's Satan's goal. Those are the two end time sins, sorcery, pornography, fornication. Pornia. But fight it. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to a dirty thought or a bad dream or anything. Rebuke it all. Bring it into captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't roll over for lust, for anger, or for bitterness, or for any sin. Biblical men, they war against their sin and their fleshly desires. First, before they ever get that super spiritual and worry about another man's. Man, I'll tell you what. When you take a good look at yourself, you'll not spend a lot of time scrolling around everywhere else trying to find everybody else's sins and dealing with them. Got to fight the flesh. Got to war against it. Real men war against it. Next, number two or three, whatever number it is. Biblical men war against procrastination and complacency. This is what a man has to do. He has to war against that. You know, they're really excuses is what they are. Complacency, procrastination, they're excuses. Men war against it. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, I'll do it tomorrow. That's procrastination. That's putting off. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Right? Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, a fool does not redeem the time. That's what he's saying there. You remember those principles of interpretation? Look at that. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Well, who are the fools? Those that don't walk circumspectly. Who are the fools? Those that don't redeem the time. Who are the wise? Those that redeem the time. See that? Because the days are evil. We're to redeem the time. We're not to wait around and wait for something to hopefully happen one day, but get busy and war against that spirit of procrastination and complacency. This idea of just getting by is okay for the child of God. Look, if you live in a third world country where we have to work all day for a bowl of soup or something, then so be it. Then we live abased, and that's fine. But you know what? Some of those people work harder than Americans do. But God has blessed us in a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And we should work hard, and we should not be complacent and procrastinate. You know, Paul said he lived his life, he was spent for them. You ain't in no worse shape than Paul was. Three times. He was stoned. He spent a night and day in the deep. Old Paul was still out there making tents, doing what he had to do, caring for the churches. Amen. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Amen. The soul of the sluggard, that's the problem with men today. They have that sluggard mentality. They don't want to work hard. Just give me something. I don't want to work for it. It's not what God intended for God's people, God's men. Not at all. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 10:4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Amen. Let it not be said of the people of God that they are sluggards, that they are lazy, that they are not directed, they are not strong, that the men of God are not strong, and they don't fight, and they don't go off and do the things they need to do. We don't want to be slackers, complacent, and procrastinators. Go to work and we have the worst testimony because we're not doing our jobs. We don't go there and do the work that we're supposed to do. Right? That we can't stay anywhere. We can't work longer than and have a good testimony there. I'm all for upward mobility, doing better. Amen. But the point is that we ought to be able to. It ought to be said when we leave that job, man, that guy was a good worker. That's what I look for. Somebody said to me, that guy was a good worker. He worked hard while he was here. That's what I remember him by. Man, that guy could work hard. That guy did his best. He had a good testimony. Amen? And he moved on to something else. Not, boy, that guy, he just wouldn't work. Shouldn't be said about us. Amen? Should it? Come on. The land of mediocrity is not for the Christian. If the only reason he is there is because he doesn't want to work hard. Right? Biblical men work hard. They war against complacency. They war against that slacker mentality. They war against that complacent attitude. That complacency can come from fear and a lack of faith. I'll just be at ease in Zion. I don't need to make that much money, or I don't need to work hard. I'll just get by. Why? Why would God's people ever want to just get by when they can do better? Especially men. I'm talking to men here. I'm not talking about women here. I'm talking to men here. Well, why wouldn't we want to do better? Why would we want to just get by? Why would that be us? Oh, I just want to get by. Why? Where does it say in the Bible that you and I are to get by? It says be content with such things as you have, but it doesn't say work half as hard to get it. Right. It says whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Like I had to talk to some guys and explain some things to them too, because they were like, well, you know, I have this job and this work. And I said, listen, you're going to work the same amount of hours over at this place. If these people are going to pay you a lot more money, why in the world? If you're going to take me away from my home, away from my family, and I'm going to go work, you're going to pay me for it.
Amen.
Right, come on. Amen. You're just going to pay me good for it.
Amen.
That's not wrong, especially if I'm doing an honest day's work. Right? You're going to pay me good for it if I'm going to do that.
Yep.
Amen. It's called being a man. Right? But see, you got to break through that complacent spirit and that almost like it's like an abuser's mentality where you're like, okay, okay, boss, whatever you say.
Yep. Yep, right?
Right? That victim mentality. Well, I'm a victim. Man, I ain't. I'm a fighter.
Amen.
I ain't no victim.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30. You know, you can slip back into that. By the way, that's for ladies, too. You can slip back into that victim mentality.
Oh, yes.
Woe is me.
Yep.
Life is so hard on me. Well, you could be in hell. Yeah, you could be in hell. You could be completely mutilated. You could have no eyes, no hands, no feet. You could be all alone by yourself with nobody or nothing. Well, I guess I got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Oh, don't give me that perspective, preacher. Come on. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Where's that spirit? Let me ask you, where's that spirit? Do you have it? We are well able to overcome it. Or do you say, "Well, I can't do it. It hurts. I'm tired. I'm sore. I don't feel good. My tummy hurts. I got a headache." Oh, yeah, Caleb. That's what they were all saying to Caleb. All of them were saying that to Caleb. And Caleb's over there saying, "Hey, man, we are well able. We are well able to overcome it." So what obstacles in your life right now as a man that you're facing and you're just like shirking your responsibility and you're not facing it? And you're just wimping out. You're limp wristing out. And you don't want to face it, you don't want to fight it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report and the big scary people there, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, the land. We're in trouble. Which we have gone to search in the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are a great stature. They're big people there. Well, you laugh, but that's what you do when your challenges come up. You turn into a big old sobbing baby that you want to sit there and cry and say, "My back hurts, my neck hurts, my head hurts. Everything I have hurts. I can't do this, I can't do that. I can't stand up." You're the same as they are. "No, I can't do it." That's, well, you know, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." It says that through Christ, we are able. The problem is you don't have any faith. You don't believe God because you ain't never had it tested before. And just when it's time to test that faith, you want to run and hide. You don't want to do it. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." But what did Caleb say? "We are well able to take it." What's the biggest challenge in your life right now, man? Let me ask you something. What's the biggest challenge? Are you whining about it, or are you taking care of it? See, here's the thing. When men tell me something's impossible to do that God has told me to do, I don't listen to men. I just go do it. When my own flesh tells me it's impossible to do, that you can't do that, that you can't overcome this, when the devil tries to tell me you can't overcome this, you can't do this, I just ignore it and I do it anyway. Because that's what's right to do. And I don't wait. I'm not looking for an excuse not to do it. I've already done it yesterday. When I know I'm wrong about something, I don't wait for anything. I deal with it. By God's grace, I deal with it, and I take care of it, and I get it right away. I don't wait around for it because that's what biblical men do. They take care of it. They hold up their responsibilities, and they deal with them. God doesn't accept excuses. What is it that God wants you to do, and you've not done it yet? You need to charge it by God's grace. We are well able to take it. You know, they brought up the evil report. "Look, they're giants there. It's too hard. We will fail. We can't do it." I'm going to tell you something. Here's what your failures amount to. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 14. Because here's what it is right here. Don't miss this. I've said this again before, but I'm going to say it again here to you. Proverbs 18, 14. Because here, real men need to grasp this and hold on to this. Biblical men, men that want to honor God. Listen to this. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. What does that mean? That means any infirmity that you have, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And boy, have I heard some whoppers in my time. I've seen some real infirmities that people have, and I've seen some fake ones. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. No, see, you're trying to tell me that God says that if my spirit is right with him, then I'm going to be able to get through what I need. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to. That's why you won't. That's what it is, because you don't want to. I don't like being told that. I know. That's why I like telling you that, because I know that's what it is. You're lying. You don't want to. I've seen it. I can give you a checklist of people that I've watched do this, and I've watched people that get their legs blown off that are crawling to get to that door to survive. Yep. And then I've seen other, well, my pinky hurts today, so I can't do nothing. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, see, I don't know. I guess I was trained young, and I was. It's one thing I thank God for. I was trained young to look at something, and I'm telling you, if you locked me in that wall, I would eat myself out of it. I would. I would eat myself out of it. Look, I would eat your face off if I had to. I'm just telling you, if I had no legs to fight you, if I had no hands to fight you, I'd eat your face off. You understand that? So you're why? Because it's the spirit of a man. That will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? With a wounded spirit, you won't do anything. You just sit around and lick your wounds. Like an old dog that can't stop licking on sores. Like my stupid dog that never stops licking my hand. Right? Stop that. Except if Lee's there. But you know, that's the thing. If you get defeated in your mind, then you're done. Yeah. And that's what I've seen. Just defeat in the mind. Well, I can't do it. Okay, we'll die trying. But I'll die. Okay, we'll die trying. I'd rather die a winner than live a loser. You know what I've seen with men that are complacent like that, that won't tackle that giant that's in their life? They're expelling all of their energy on fighting everything else and putting their resources to everything else instead of what they're supposed to be fighting. Their direction is wrong. When you got enough spirit to kick and snort and shout and do all those other things, get mad, get fired up, get angry, you got enough to go do what you're supposed to do. You just do, plain and simple. You just do. You just don't want to. Because when you want to, you do. There may be limitations to what you can do, but when you want to, you do it. It's like when perfectly healthy people commit suicide. It's because they're defeated in their mind. They're already defeated. They're defeated. It's done. They're defeated. When you stop fighting the giants, when you look at that job, that bill, that struggle, that work that you're supposed to do, that trial, and you give up, you have a loser's mentality because the battle's already been lost in your mind. You've already given up. You've already given up. Already given up. making excuses. And you make 1,000 excuses. Not a one of them changes reality. Because men have responsibilities. There are men of action and men of excuses. Those are the two types of men. Right?
Amen.
Men of action and men of excuses. That's it. Your faith is not in the Lord, but in circumstances. And the Bible says, quit you like men and be strong. Stand up and fight for it. Stand up and fight the giants. It might be your health. I don't know what it is. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Man, I don't care what it is. I've heard everything. It could be your back, right, Dave? It could be a wheelchair. Right? It could be Wi-Fi. Probably not. But it could be anything. But I've seen that if you have the right spirit, right, you'll get up and get going. Do what you have to do. It could be a test in school or your midterms, right? Or raising children or whatever it is. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Make excuses or make it happen. You got to war against that complacency and that procrastination. Man, it's in men. We can procrastinate. We can do it. Oh, man. Right? Oh. It's one of the enemies of biblical manhood, that complacent spirit, being at ease. Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation, all the children of Israel. Hey, let's go back to the old man's ways. It's too hard to fight the giants. Let's revert back. That's what they were saying. Well, this is what I know how to do. This is what I've done. So I'm going to go back to do that. Wait, yeah, but God said not to go back to Egypt. You're supposed to go forward. Right? You're supposed to go forward. That's all I know how to do. Well, you better learn some new things. You better learn how to do some new things. Amen. Better learn it. Right? You got to stand up and fight. You got to war against it. War against the biggest problem you have and face it down. Fight it. Amen. Biblical men are not slack in the war, but they fight against their own complacency, their procrastination. Caleb fought it by God's grace. And he was an old man when he went into the land 40 years later. He said, man, we were well able to bear it. Caleb had to go through the wilderness 40 years. He didn't do anything wrong. Caleb didn't do nothing wrong. He had to go through the wilderness with a bunch of slackers. But you know what? You know what I like about Caleb, though? His spirit never changed all through the wilderness. All through the wilderness, he didn't get discouraged by it. So at the outcome, at the end of that 40 years of trial, what was Caleb? 80 years old. He's like, man, God gave me the strength that I was when I was 40. And he did. God kept him that strength, gave him that strength, and kept him and preserved his strength for him. And he did that because Caleb was faithful. He said, they have a spirit like my servant Caleb, like Caleb. Right? 40 years later, same man, he was ready to go. He's like, give me that giant. I want the biggest one. Give me those sons of Anak. Right? I'll take those guys. I'll go right to the giants and take them out. I've been waiting for them guys for 40 years, man. Caleb's like, I've been going to this wilderness for 40 years, man. I forgot about those guys. Give me the big ones. And that's the kind of spirit you have to have. I'm going to fight the biggest thing I have in front of my face. I'm going to war against it. I'm going to deal with it right away. I'm going to fight it, that thing. I'm going to run from it. It's going to grow. Right? It's going to grow. That's what happens when you run from those challenges or those problems. They grow. They get bigger. And they get worse. Next, man, you thought I was done. I'm not done yet. Man, this is looking like 3 hours. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Man, it was didn't seem like this long when I put it together. It seemed really short, Brother Ryan. I don't know what happened. Number four, is it? Is that number four, Brother Jacob? Are you keeping track? Is that four? Is that got it right? All right, number four. He's keeping track. Why don't you keep track, Zach? Never mind. Comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. You still should keep track. No, I'm just kidding. Number four, biblical men, they fight for their family. Amen? Biblical men, they fight for their family. He fights for the purity of his family. Ephesians 6, verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, you take the Bible, you take the Word of God, and you train and teach your children, and you protect them from evil, but you train them, you raise them, right? You fight for them. He leads his family by example, reads and prays, and then obeys the Bible. Amen? Fights for their purity by not trying to be their best friend, but their leader. And he does not set wicked things before their eyes. God forbid that we should teach our children sin and the acceptance of it. Amen? It's kind of scary, isn't it? He fights for their purity. He teaches them the Bible in devotion to the Lord and His Word. He fights for them against all outside influences which would try to sway them. He does this by keeping bad influences away. Right? But also by teaching them to do right. Over and over again, we see in the Scriptures, I'm going to read you some of these. I didn't put all the references down, but they're in Proverbs. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He's teaching his children. She's teaching. His wife is teaching. Doesn't matter who it is. Parents teaching. But a father, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You know, someday those boys are going to go out in the world, and they got to be men, and they got to be prepared. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Man, they're going to try to tempt you. They're going to entice you with evil, son. Don't go with them. Don't follow them. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Man, don't go hang out with them. Don't go in the way they go. Don't hang out with them, and don't go do the things that they do. I like what one guy said, that active self-protection guy says, don't go stupid places with stupid people at stupid times. It's good advice. That's good advice. Right? So you get into trouble. I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, every time I got in trouble from the time I was a boy all the way up was I went stupid places with stupid people at stupid times. True. Very true. I was just thinking of something else. But my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. You teach them about God by you properly correcting them. Properly! Not angrily, not abusively, not belligerently, but biblically. Amen. It ought not be the only time they hear from you is correction. If it is, you've got to change it. Amen. He warns them. A father warns them. And he wars for them by protecting them from evil, which means he provides for them so they can be homeschooled. So mom can be a keeper at home and care for her own children and raise them and protect them and love them. Amen. He fights for them, and there is no work too hard to go through for his family. Do you hear me? We're going to talk about that again, biblical man as a provider, but I just want to preface that by saying this. There isn't any work too hard for a man to do for his family. You understand that? Nothing. He'll die doing it. Let me tell you something. When you put that ring on the finger, you said you'd die doing it. Now be the man and do it. He fights for them, and there's no work too hard to go through. There's no self-denial too great that is not worth paying for. He will gladly spend and be spent for his family. That's a real fighter. That's a real man. He'll work 10 jobs and warn the world so his wife and his family doesn't have to. So they don't have to suffer that and go into that. Wife's supposed to have a covering, and it's you as a man. And you are to cover her so she does not go into the world and suffer what a man suffers in the world. You want to know why women are so hardened today? Because they're out there and they have to be like men. That's why they're hard. That's why they're not genteel. That's why they have such an abrasiveness. And when you come home, you still deal with that. When we did the video, Brother Ryan, remember that? We talked about those things, that everything was so crazy because of the order being mixed up, and we talked about that. Go listen to that, man. There's a lot of good truth in that. There's a lot of wonderful lessons in there to learn from that. But coming home and dealing with those roles being in the proper place, amen. It's a challenge, right? It's a challenge. Because now you got to work through some things. When your wife has been subjected to another man and dealing with that. Or your daughters. So I ain't sending my daughter off to work for some other guy. Well, that's sexist. Well, I don't care what you call it. Call it whatever you want to. It's called me taking care of my daughters. The only man I'm going to send her off to is the one that marries her. That's it. And if he ain't man enough to take care of her, he ain't married her. Amen. Come on, that's just truth right there. I know. Is that too manly? It is today, isn't it? It's Bible. That's right. That's what biblical manhood is. Daughters and sons, but daughters and the wives, they belong to their husband. Belong? Yeah, I said that. That's right. They're yours. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's the way it is. That's why you don't just flippantly give your daughter to anyone. Amen. Well, that's good right there. I'm telling you. That's going to make some snowflakes melt. Remember that snowflake that melted, that Catholic, or that, well, he was kind of a fruity pebble. That one that was on the street that melted. Well, you were at that event, right? Remember when I said that to him? Oh, man, he didn't like that. Remember that? You were there. He melted, man. What? What? You know what I'm saying? What? He's like, I'm going to put you on camera. I'm like, please do. And he was like, you want my name? Here, do it. He's putting me. He's like, you're not gonna. He calls him in his lisp. I can't do the lisp very well. I'm not gay like that. But anyway, he comes over. He's like puts it in front of my face. Like, you can't believe what they said. Listen to what he's saying. And that woman came by and she cussed me out. And I was like, you should be home married, having babies. That's what you should be doing. Amen. What? Now, I don't just preach that on the pulpit for this. This is a conversation that went on for like 15, 20 minutes with this. It went on a while. It was not like this. I didn't just hit this lady over the head with that. But they don't understand the roles. They don't like biblical manhood and women. They don't like it. Well, yeah, when I said women shouldn't be in charge. What? Yeah, he did. The guy almost melted on the sidewalk. Were you there, Brother Ryan? I think you were there. Well, we got it on video. Andrew's going to put it on. This is going to be great, man. I'm looking forward to that one. It was great. When snowflakes melt. I'm going to have Andrew melt them through the sidewalk. That'll be cool. See if he can make it do that. That'd be great. Anyway, we'll cover that in another message on biblical man as a provider. But for now, that's the general rule. Anyway, men are fighters. They fight for the purity, the prosperity of their family. A biblical man is careful who he allows to influence his family and keep his children on the straight and narrow. The war that he faces is right in his own heart. It's him in the mirror, dealing with himself, and then helping his wife, and then his family, and then his church, and then the world. That's the war. That's the war for biblical man. It starts with the man. Good character, good characteristics, a good testimony. Fighting, right? And when you're wrong, repenting and getting it right. Well, there's a bunch of them. I've got a bunch of these that I want to deal with and cover, but you know what? God expects some things out of men. I'm just tired of all the excuses and the inaction. God's people, God's men need to stand up and be real men. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth. We pray, Lord, you would just help us to live it every day of our lives, Lord, as we're challenged and you show us things that we're wrong about. Lord, help us to get them right. Lord, bless the people that are sick, Lord, and please heal them and raise them up. And Lord, we pray you'd bless the food that we're about to receive to our bodies. Lord, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.